Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, August 11th, 2017, and we are a few hours removed from the Green Bay Packers' first exhibition game of this 2017 season. I'm here with Tom Silverstein, two colleagues from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and what was the final score? Was it 24-9?
24-9.
All right, 24-9, the Packers got a win against the Philadelphia Eagles. But as many of you know, the results of these games don't really mean anything. It's the specifics of what happened. And my Twitter feed was just lined with people asking, how can there be so many injuries? So let's talk about this first of all. Mm-hmm. You know, the situation with Malachi Dupree. He catches a ball in the flat, takes a huge hit from Trey Sullivan, a safety from the Eagles. He's down on the field for a while. You know, he ends up being stretchered off the field. Was this... I guess one of the things I was curious of is how would you describe this scenario relative to what JerMichael went through? Is it similar, the sort of the mood of the everybody on one knee, the quietness, the uncomfortable nature?
I don't know if it was that bad because, you know, when Finley went down, you know, it was clear he wasn't moving, that he had no movement. And this was – you wondered about it because he went down – and he sort of just went down in a heap. But from looking at the hit, I never thought it was a head-to-head neck kind of thing, you know, where Finley got just drilled right in the head. So I kind of had the feeling he was knocked out. That was more the feeling I got out of it beyond, you know, other than it was some kind of serious neck injury. But it didn't look good, that's for sure.
And the early indications, though, are that it seems as if, you know, things are trending in a positive direction. He had movement in all of his extremities, and when they took him to the hospital for evaluation, he just sent out a tweet a few minutes ago saying that he's okay, and he appreciates everybody sending him messages and things like that. So that was sort of the big noticeable I don't even know what to call it. Exclamation point's the wrong word. But on a night when there were a ton of injuries, that was sort of the thing that jumped out. But on a couple other significant ones, Demarius Randle officially diagnosed with a concussion after he sort of took a blindside hit early in the game there. What does it mean for this team if he's out for, you know, a couple weeks? Because we've seen concussions that last 5, 6, 7 weeks and some that last a day or two.
Yeah, right. It's really kind of up in the air. I would say it's not a terrible thing for them to lose corners in camp. You know, he was starting to come on a little bit, and he actually, I think he forced a sack today with a blitz. Him and Matthews kind of pushed a guy to Perry. But, you know, it just opens up the door for Kevin King to play some more, Josh Hawkins. Ladarius Gunter, actually, I thought, bounced back today and had a pretty good game from what I could tell. It's only bad if it's really serious and it's something that might keep him out a long time. But if it's a concussion that lasts a week or even 2 weeks, I think it just allows other, not to be callous about the fact that it's a concussion, but from the standpoint of what it does to the secondary, I don't think it's a horrible thing.
So let's talk about King for a second. This was, you know, a chance for him to really get his feet wet and for the coaches to evaluate him in a game setting for the very first time. And it was sort of an inauspicious start for him. He gets, you know, beat for that touchdown pass on the very first drive I think the Eagles had, where Clay Matthews should have sacked Carson Wentz. Wentz escapes and throws it to Mac Hollins on a crossing route over the middle of the field, and King caught up to him and then got stiff-armed to the ground, and Hollins turned it upfield for a touchdown. But then later in the game, I thought King played better. He showed some physicality coming up and making tackles in the flat. And even though it looked like Blake Martinez that forced a fumble later, Kevin King actually got credit for it in the official box score. So what do you make of a guy that, you know, has some ups and downs in his debut? Is this sort of to be expected?
Exactly. Typical for a rookie, especially corners. I was surprised that he tackled as well as he did. I didn't know that about him, that he was, of all the guys who were out there, nobody else form tackled, and he was one of the few guys who got down and got low and tackled the guys like they should be tackled. So from that standpoint, that's probably a good thing. He's going to get beat. All rookie corners get beat. They get beat a lot. The thing you want to see is him be physical. You want to see him battle with guys and not get double moved a lot. Be at least near the ball. And there were a couple times he got I think he bit on a pump fake.
Yep, right? For that deep ball down the sideline. I think it was like a 40-yard catch.
That's, you know, something he'll have to work on, the tackling on that play. But he wasn't the only one. I mean, Quentin Rollins embarrassed himself on that one too. He had a chance to bring the guy down. He couldn't do it. So, you know, all in all, I thought it was pretty typical for a rookie.
He played the entire first half today in a game where they rotated guys pretty quickly. Do you expect him to play heavily over the next couple weeks, even though there's other guys they want to take a look at? King is the priority.
A ton, yeah. He's going to play a ton. If it gets down to where they start thinking they might want to keep Lindsey Pipkins, who I actually thought played a pretty good game.
I thought he played great. I talked to him about it afterward.
Probably one of the better players in the secondary. If it comes down to them wanting to see between him and Josh Hawkins who's going to make it, you might see those guys play a little bit more. But I think King will play a ton.
It's going to be really interesting to see. There was another injury in the secondary as well. Rayshon Pringle, one of the undrafted guys that was in there with Donatello Brown in terms of being at the top of the undrafted list in terms of the pecking order, he was evaluated for a concussion, and by the time we were kicked out of the locker room, we didn't know if he was officially diagnosed with one or not. They were still sort of evaluating him. And so we'll just run through the other injuries really quick. Kentrell Bryce had a finger injury, and he didn't come back after the second quarter, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I asked him what happened, and he said he doesn't really know how it happened, but he looked down, and the middle finger on his left hand was pointing at a weird angle. So he popped it back in and then got x-rays, and he said that it wasn't a big deal. And then Don Barclay, the number two center for the Packers, left early in the game, first quarter, I think it was, with what the Packers said was an ankle injury, right? And that one didn't look good. What do you make of that?
Didn't look good, but I immediately thought ACL because that's the same leg he tore his ACL on a couple years ago. And if it's an ankle, I mean, that's a lot better, unless it's, you know, one of those Josh Boyd things where he tore all kinds of ligaments
or
and things.
Or Barrington, too.
Barrington, yeah. Then that's bad news. But even if it's a fracture, you're talking, if it's just a fracture, it's 4 to 6 weeks. If it's just a bad sprained ankle, you know, if it's a high ankle sprain, that could last a while. Either way, they got to get, I'm guessing it's going to, just the way he couldn't walk off the field, I'm thinking that they're going to have to really work those other guys as backup centers.
Do you think they're going to bring in an actual center? You know, you look at Lindsley as the starter who has a history of injury problems. They didn't draft a center. Of all their undrafted free agents that they brought in, none of them are true centers. And so who's left behind them? They've got McCray.
Lucas Patrick.
Lucas Patrick moved into the number two center, and then McCray's also taken some reps, mm-hmm. and Kofi Amici.
Yeah.
What do you make of that group? Could the Packers go into the season with no true center behind Lindsley?
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. I said this in the live blog, too. You can talk about Ted picking up veteran free agent type guys all you want, but he never does it. Even in this situation, he'll almost always go with the young guy. So unless Lucas Patrick or McCray embarrass themselves or both embarrass themselves, I wouldn't be surprised if they're the backups when the season starts.
What was a situation where Barclay had to go on IR and they knew he was going to be gone for, you know, at least half the year? Do you think then they might bring in somebody?
No, because, you know, they still have Lindsley. And so they can make, if they lose Lindsley, they can make a move then and find some. There'll be somebody on the street that they can bring in. It's probably going to be the same caliber of guy they can get now. So I don't see them. I'm sure they'll look at final cutdowns and see if there's a guy who might be able to come in and help him. But for right now, I think they just go ahead with Patrick and McRae.
And then the last little bit of injury news was a guy that didn't dress today. Richard Rodgers, we mentioned, dropped out of practice a couple days ago, and we found out it was a finger injury for him. Doesn't seem overly serious, just sort of a precautionary thing. Aside from that injury news, the quarterbacks were a pretty big story today, obviously. This is a huge training camp and a huge exhibition season for Brett Hundley. What did you think of Hundley? He played the whole first half.
I thought he was up and down. I thought early on it seemed like they were just trying to get him in a rhythm. A lot of three-step drops, a lot of stuff out into the flats. I wanted to see him open it up and play like Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, now it's his first game in quite a while, so maybe they wanted to kind of baby him a little bit. But he had a bad interception, just a bad idea to throw that ball across the middle. He had a beautiful throw to Janice. That was a really nice throw. A couple other nice passes. He had a nice slant to Bennett, as I recall. I think he also hit someone else on a slant.
Allison, I think it was?
Yeah.
He had one nice run, too, where he took off and gained a few yards up the sideline.
Yeah, but I just, you know, it just wasn't the takeover kind of performance.
Agreed.
I thought he should have with the number one offensive line.
No, I agree with you. And one of the things that I've noticed with Hundley in practice is even on the days where he has a really good day, there's always like one or two throws where he throws it and it makes you just wonder, why were you even looking that way? And in addition to the interception tonight, there was another one that he tried to force, I think it was to McCaffrey maybe, where there were two guys closing in on him and it could have been picked easily and it just got deflected away. And mm-hmm. So those are the types of things where even when he has moments that he shows command, there's sort of this one asterisk that makes you say, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Callahan? Got in there for about a quarter and a half.
I thought he did about everything you could expect of him. The one thing he didn't do was hit McCaffrey on that cover two beater where he had him. He could have gotten him with a little bit better throw. He led McCaffrey just a little too much, and that was his bad throw. But I thought, you know, he threw that deep ball to Yancey, I think it was,
yep.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
That was a nice throw. He got it out there. I'm not sure Yancey ran the right route on that because Callahan had to kind of double pump. But I thought he did, you know, what you would expect. I think the big surprise was Taysom Hill, who looked really impressive, just standing back there and gunning it. You know, he's got a nice arm, and he can run. He might be a prospect. We'll see how the rest of his preseason goes, but you got to think they're going to take a little bit more of a look at him now.
Yeah, he only played, I think, the final 6 minutes. That's all he got.
Is that
because
all it
was? they gave Hundley the first and second quarter, and then Callahan got a quarter and a half. So Hill comes in right at the end there, and one thing that you've mentioned earlier in the week is that you got to remember when those guys get in there, they're playing behind the offensive lines that can't do anything. And so there was a couple times where Hill had to sort of maneuver. But I wrote a story earlier this week about how good of an athlete he is. Of all the skill players that the Packers drafted this year, so you think about the two wide receivers, the three running backs, Hill's the fastest guy in the 40-yard dash,
mm-hmm.
and I think he had like either the second or third best vertical leap, so he's a legitimate athlete. And there was that one play where he took off up the field, and you could see the acceleration where it's impressive. He finished with a touchdown pass to Michael Clark, and I asked Clark about it, and he said that that's something they've been talking about for weeks, that they agreed if they ever got into the red zone and Clark was alone on one side of the field, they were going to throw the fade no matter what. And they threw it. Clark caught it.
The irony was it was a really lousy fade.
Yes, it was not good.
I don't know what happened to the DB, but, you know, it was low. And remember we saw, was it Hundley who threw that one to Clark over Kevin King? I think it was, in practice the other day. And that was a fade. This wasn't a very good fade. But But, you know, he hit the one to Yancey, too. And he the most impressive one, he hit one deep down the middle. I think it was to McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey, yeah.
That was a really nice throw.
And McCaffrey had a decent game, too. It's like you said, you expect him to be the leading receiver, and he's going to be.
Yeah, he is. And I'm not ruling him out. Trevor Davis did a lot to make the team today, but McCaffrey and Janice did, too. But they may have to find a place for him. I don't know.
When you look at McCaffrey relative to the two rookies, of course, we didn't get a big look at Dupree today, but I think he's performed just as well as either of the rookies have in camp so far.
Yeah, Yancey's kind of coming along.
Agreed.
A little bit. And you can tell he's a big receiver who I think they'll be able to work with. But, you know, with McCaffrey, he's a slot guy that tends to get open. And I don't know how they keep him if they keep Randall Cobb, because they play the same position, and it just, you can't keep that many receivers.
Right.
You can't keep eight receivers or whatever. You know, it's going to have to be someone decent's going to be cut.
Earlier, when was it, last week maybe or the week before, Jordy Nelson was asked about McCaffrey, and he said that, you know, he's sort of – he thinks McCaffrey could be the guy that follows what Geronimo Allison did in terms of not making the team initially, but mm-hmm. being on the practice squad, and then at some point during the year getting his chance to come up to the 53. And obviously everybody knows what Allison did with that. But, you know, I thought that was a pretty interesting comparison by Nelson.
If nobody picks him up.
Yeah.
You know, well, we all thought that Geronimo Allison was going to be picked up, and he wasn't. So I don't know with McCaffrey. We'll have to see how his preseason. Maybe they should just shut him down so nobody sees him anymore. And just try to sneak him through.
The other big area of focus was the running backs. And, you know, Ty Montgomery got the start, as expected. And his second carry coughs the ball up.
That's embarrassing.
I think it's going to be a legitimate problem with him. I mean, even when he was playing full-time wide receiver, I remember he had some ball security issues, and he's had two fumbles already in training camp. This is now the third fumble, and of course, I mean, you know, to do it on your second carry, it's just bad.
I mean, you know, Fletcher Cox is a heck of a player, and he put his hand right on the ball, but Montgomery's massively strong guy. How can he not be able to protect the football? I don't really get it. And I thought Jamal Williams took a little bit of a step. I was really disappointed that they didn't give him the ball more.
Agreed.
They didn't give any of those guys the ball, really.
No.
But Williams had a couple of nice runs, and then I think this is a game McCarthy wanted to look at the quarterbacks. I really got that sense, because they didn't have any semblance of trying to establish the run at all.
One of the things that Williams does really well, and when Montgomery's playing well, it's the same kind of thing. Both these guys have like the ability to go through the line of scrimmage with their bodies kind of turned diagonally, and they can squeeze through these small places. And Williams, I thought, looked pretty good. And even in pass pro, I thought he held up, you know, moderately well, given the inexperience at this level. So it's going to be interesting. So if this was the game where they look at the quarterbacks, do you think there will be a game where they look at the running backs?
Well, they should. I think they should. I think it's more important it's important to get Hundley action, and that's good. But, you know, get Hundley in a situation where he can use the run and the pass and sort of play it like Rodgers would, you know, use it to your advantage. Let him audible at the line and figure those things out.
Was there anything that surprised you tonight in terms of the way reps were divided or the way guys were on the field or not on the field?
No, not really. I think they played the starting offensive line two series.
I believe so.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising, but I think they wanted Hundley to have that experience. Really, no. I thought that it was pretty much how you would expect a preseason to go.
I agree. You know, I think that you could tell that some of the guys they wanted to work in there, Lance Kendricks got a ton of snaps tonight.
Almost by necessity.
True,
though,
with Richard Rodgers out.
And,
yeah,
and Martellus Bennett did not show up today.
No.
At least on that one block. I don't know if he was still in bed or, you know, or didn't get the wake-up call, but he let Brandon Graham just, like, run right by him.
It was very uncharacteristic for a guy that some people think is the best blocking tight end in the league.
Yeah, and then he came back and caught a nice pass over the middle and tried to run over a couple guys. So I think that was just like a preseason, oh, yeah, that's right, I got a block.
I know we've got another, 9 days or so, I think, till the next game, but do you think Rodgers plays in game number two?
What did he play in last year? Game three?
Game three.
For, like, what, a couple
of... A quarter, I think he played.
Was it a quarter?
Because I think they put... Nelson didn't play, right? I can't remember.
Yeah, Nelson didn't play at all.
Right. I think they played Rodgers for almost the full quarter. I feel like they did.
Okay. I have this feeling that they're not going to play him at all. But based on last year, they did play him. I don't know. And again, I'm not one of these people who thinks it's going to cause the offense to start slow.
I agree.
I just don't believe that. And I don't know. Third game is what, in Denver?
Right.
I guess a really good
defense.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want Von Miller, running against him. But, he's got – the other thing is, he needs to get hit a little bit. That first game, want him to not been hit at all. So I don't know. It's one of those things where flip a coin.
And I think there's a lot of new pieces on offense too. I mean, you look at Jari Evans at right guard. You look at some of the running backs, of course. You look at Bennett and Kendricks. I feel like even if Rodgers doesn't really want to play, he seems like the type of person that would want to maybe at least get a little bit of run with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean, and James Campen said the other day that he thinks it's going to be a big adjustment for Evans working with Rodgers' snap counts. Mm-hmm. He's been jumping offside every so often here or there, and so that might be something that they can practice as well.
Yeah, I mean, they can work on that in practice too. But yeah, if I had to guess right now, I think he would play some.
And then the last thing I just want to bring up real quick is the specialists. It was obviously a big debacle. Over the weekend at family night, and I thought it was a pretty decent step in the direction of remedying that tonight. Would you agree?
Well, I think the special teams as a whole was, I wrote my story on that, was like, it wasn't a disaster.
No.
It was actually good. It was like, as I said in the story that one of the teams had a disastrous special teams day, and it wasn't the Packers for once. It was the Eagles. So, Trevor Davis averaged 47 yards.
On two returns, yeah.
Vogel had four kicks inside the 20 and averaged a 43.5 net. The coverage units gave up three total yards.
Yeah, Janis flew down there on the very first play and made a tackle on the first punt return.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the bizarro world. Packers good at special teams? What's going on? So we'll see. That next week they'll probably come back to earth.
Anything else on your mind about this game?
It was fun to be back on the live blog again. People were definitely ready for that. If you haven't been on the live blog, you got to check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Where can they find the live blog, Spoon?
I have no idea because I can never find it on our website. Thanks, Mike Davis. But it's you can find it on game days on the front page of jsonline.com or jsonline.com/Packers. You'll find it. Check my Twitter account at Tom Silverstein. I post that too. But it's a lot of fun, and you get to jump in at halftime, and it's always fun when the Packers are losing and you get to hear everybody just want to fire everyone. So
the conversation does get more interesting when the scoreboard goes in the wrong direction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we've got another, 9 days until the next exhibition game, so there's going to be some time off here for the players over the weekend. We'll jump back into it with, I think, the first practice that we can go see on Tuesday of next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a little bit of time off here, but we will update you with another podcast first thing Monday morning. So we will talk to you guys pretty soon.
And the thing I can't believe is there are only 19 games left. Where did the season go?
I know. The scary part is I think there's legitimately only like six practices left.
Well, that's good.
That's two between each game, I think, which is kind of crazy. So training camp is we're in the thick of it now, and pretty soon we'll be welcoming Seattle to Green Bay for week one. So we will, again, talk to you guys on Monday. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you soon. Not me.